but also it will depend on you, on your intervention, so that when you intervene, if you will, you will at least start to become short and to the point, so that at least come, say, 5, 10 minutes to 2, we're able to go to the house. Honorable member?
NCLP doesn't have a plan with the South Council. You can carry on the pilot.
I'm sorry. Something which has relevance to this meeting, could you please repeat yourself so that we can all hear and record the following?
The NCLP does not have a plenary this afternoon, so we've got space.
Alright, that's why it's very important that Mr. Mohai comes, you know, so that as we leave the meeting for the National Assembly meeting, then you continue with the meeting. I think that would be the most appropriate way of handling it. We have a very important meeting, so we all are expected to be in the house. Thank you very much.
Sorry, yeah, with due respect to Honorable Lutia, but I think he might not have a quorum after we leave.
I don't like to joke. Yeah, I like to joke. Yeah.
All right,
time.
I don't want us to waste time now. Right?
Wasting time.
Let's be progressive. But I am reliably informed that we do not need to take a decision. Yes. So meaning that we can still proceed without members of the National Assembly. Thank you very much. As you settle down, I am now going to request the National Treasury to brief the sitting on the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill, B15 of 2016. Over to the National Treasury. But let me speak so that all members can know exactly who is speaking from the National Treasury. Ma'am, I'm going to ask you to introduce yourself.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Honourable Members. My name is Martin Nalin, National Treasurer. So I am with the three members of the team, Wendy Panwe, Stephen Kenyon, and Alistair Birosol. So they will assist me to go through the presentation very quickly. So basically, the presentation will cover three things. We'll attempt to cover three things. The first thing will be read around the amendments that have been made on the bill in terms of the allocation and the amendments that have been proposed for the grant framework, and also some of the responses on the issues that were raised in the MTCL discussion as pertaining to the 2017 Division of Revenue. So, as the Chair has already outlined, this is really about amending the bill that was passed in February and appended to in May. And the changes that we are making in this bill are not major changes. They include changes that will provide for unforeseeable and unavoidable expenditure, emergencies, and utilization of unspent funds, rollovers of unspent funds, So setting out this allocation. So what we are trying to show in this slide is how we are presenting the change. In the first block, we are indicating how the allocations are reflected in the Division of Revenue Act. With basically two columns, one column reflecting the current year's allocation, column A, and column B representing the forward estimate of the allocation. So what we are changing now in this adjustment is really column A only. So what we have done there is to expand column A for transparency, just to show the first column in column A, which is the original allocations, and the second one would be the middle one, will show what changes have been made. And then it will be aggregated at the end. So in all the schedules that have been changed, which are reflected in schedule 1, 4, 5, and 6, they will be presented in the way that the second block indicates. So we'll start first by indicating the changes in the provincial allocation. So the first one is about the rollover. The rollover of provincial roads and maintenance grants. So this is 235.7 million that is in rollover for KwaZulu-Natal. So this is the funds that were not transferred in the year, simply because the department has not complied with the reporting requirements. So the money was, however, spent. So this money is about compensating them for that, which has already been spent since they have already complied now with the reporting requirements. The other one is about additions that are made in the health insurance grant. So there's 9 million that has been added there to the direct national health insurance portion of the grant. This is going to KwaZulu-Natal and Western Cape. So this is part of PILE, which is a key element of the NHI PILE. So the other one is additions that have been made in the agriculture grants, the comprehensive agriculture support program, which is 212 million. And this actually introduces a subcomponent of indirect grants for that grant, which essentially is the grant that will then be the National Department will directly implement this portion in order to support the farmers that are affected by drought in the province. So the adjustments to provincial conditional grants continue. So we have added 177.1 million to the education infrastructure grant to support the rehabilitation of damaged school grants. And we have also added 63.6 million in order to cover shortfalls in the national school nutrition program. This is about the program that is caused by high inflation on the schools, which is a big driver of cost in the school. So there's also conversion from the school backlog grant, which is an indirect grant, and it does allow for conversion into a direct grant to the province that is able to implement. In this case, the allocation of 1.25 million will be implemented directly by the province. So there's also a correction in terms of the allocations in the mass participation in order to reflect the decision that was made earlier of subsidizing the allocation so that we can provide for the club development pilot in KZN and the National Training Center that is located in Princeton. So in terms of the local government allocation, so the adjustments are made in three indirect grants. The rollover, first of all, is the rollover of the Municipal Education Transition Grant. Here, the 2.9 million is being rolled over. This is the amount that was unspent, which was converted to indirect grants, where in some provinces prepared to use that money directly to support the municipalities that were being amalgamated. And so there was spending that happened also in that process, and part of that money was to finish some of the work that needs to be done. So the additional allocation to support drought relief has also been made. This is 6.6 million. That is added to the indirect water service grant to provide emergency water supply. This is also response to the drought challenge. So the other 22 million is added for eradication of targets that the Department of Water is implementing. So some annexes to the bill in the form of grant framework, we are also meant to indicate if there are any changes. And there are really changes in three grants that have been proposed, adjustments in those three grants. And the first one is with regards to comprehensive agricultural support grants. Here it is about indicating that the allocations for capacity that is made the department had already been supplied from the grant, so it was not necessary to be reflected as if it was going to happen again in the current year. And then, so furthermore, we are also making some adjustments in the grant framework rules in order to allow for the indirect component of the grant that is supposed to respond to the child relief program. The department will have to work with the provinces in identifying, you know, the key areas that is important in the business plan, the agriculture disaster management plan. So we also have some changes in the National Health Insurance Grant, wherein we have provided for amendments in terms of providing for the diagnosis later project that we said has been allocated $9 million in the future. So in terms of adjustments to provincial government allocations, so there is some reprioritization within the grant. So we have got National Health Insurance Indirect Grant, where there is some reallocation between the HPV vaccination grant component, which is understanding, and the money is being moved to support the health professional contracting component of the same project. So this is just a shift in the sub-component of the same grant. So the last changes with regard to the municipal infrastructure grant framework, there's a correction there that is allowing the sport and recreation of South Africa to provide exemption to municipalities on the ring-fenced sports project funds, which will allow them to exempt them from implementing them through approval of a transfer grant. So they are introducing some flexibility there, but they will have to approve. So we are going to have to integrate that changes in the process. Yeah.
Sarah, if you allow me, I will take you through some responses to the issues that were raised in the parliamentary hearings last week and the week before. Firstly, relating to the on the next slide, relating to the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill, the FFC raised a concern about the rollover on the Provincial Roads Maintenance Grant. As the Deputy Director General has explained, the funds were spent in 2015-16. I think the FFC raised a concern that perhaps this indicated that maintenance wasn't done on the province's roads in that period. The rollover, the money wasn't transferred to the province because of an issue with the reporting. That issue has now been resolved. The funds were spent, roads were maintained in 15-16, and now the money is being transferred to the province to reimburse the fact that they spent their own money in the interim. Then we'd also like to take you through some brief responses to some of the issues that were raised on the Division of Revenue aspect of the MTDPS when the particularly the FFC and SALGA presented, as well as the Parliamentary Budget Office. This slide just highlights what we've already said about a summary of the Division of Revenue in the MTDPS, that it's broadly stable over the MTEP, that there is faster growth in provincial and local government allocations than national, that budgetary constraints mean that municipalities need to focus more on efficient spending, that Treasury is reviewing the provincial equitable share formula, and that government will work with financially sound municipalities to expand their investment program. In terms of the issues that were raised, we noted that all three institutions gave comments that were broadly in support of the consolidation of the fiscal framework that was required. However, the FFC in particular raised some concerns about the way in which we had determined the reduction to conditional grants that were required as part of this, and the FFC proposed that the reduction to conditional grants be based on an analysis of the historic performance of the grant. We would like to observe that the past performance of the grant is taken into account. That was one of the factors we used, but from the Treasury side, we think that that should not be the only factor that should be used when determining which grants to reduce. If a grant is underperforming, ideally there are plans in place to improve the future performance of that grant. We're not planning that grant will be underspent forever. So when we looked at the reductions to grants, We looked at factors like the commitments that are being funded from that grant, the size of the grant, because it's difficult to make significant cuts to very small grants is one of the factors we considered. And also we looked at the future planned growth in that grant, so particularly where there were large increases in the grant that as a result of additions that had been made in previous MTEP, we felt that it was possible to scale back those increases so that the grant still grew by roughly inflation over the medium-term expenditure framework. So, in other words, delivery funded through that grant will continue at roughly the same pace it is at the moment, allowing for inflation. It just won't have the planned acceleration, and that was one of the factors that we considered in which grants were targeted for reduction. So we've tried, essentially, we've looked at multiple different factors to try to make sure that we have that the reductions are done in a way that minimizes the impact on performance and delivery, which I think is broadly in line with what the FFC wants. In terms of the reform conditional grants, we noted that both SALGA and the FFC were broadly supportive of all of the proposed grant reforms in the MTVPS. The FFC suggested that we need to streamline the process for converting indirect allocations to direct allocation. We feel that Section 21 of the Division of Revenue Act provides a clear mechanism for in-year conversion of allocation with clear criteria that need to be applied. However, we'd also like to point out that ideally, in terms of budgeting, you should plan which allocations are direct and indirect before the start of the financial year, as it's always to give yourself more time to spend the funds. On the school quintiles, there was a concern raised about the National School Nutrition Program, and the FFC suggested a need to look at the national versus provincial quintiles. There has been a change in this program from using provincial quintiles to determine school eligibility to using national quintiles. However, where a school was previously eligible in terms of the provincial quintiles and is no longer eligible, they can apply for an exemption from the Department of Basic Education. So that is provided for. Members also raised concerns about the location of schools and scholars being denied free education if their school was in a wealthier area and hence in a higher quintile. And we would like to observe that there is that any poor student can apply for fee exemption no matter which school. Also, that the Department of Basic Education is currently reviewing the school funding model. Then briefly, we noted that both SALGA and the FFC supported the option for incorporating INEP, Integrated National Electrification Program, municipal allocations for metros into the Urban Settlement Development Grant. This would be a change that only applies to the 8 metros, and the FFC noted that it would curb the current uneven and disintegrated manner in which electrification projects are funded in cities, so we appreciate that input into our process. In terms of the concerns that SALGA raised with regard to the treatment of the USDG, we'd like to reiterate that the point here that SALGA was raising was that too much micromanaging and control, in their view, is being exerted. Treasury is of the view that it's very important that this grant is a supplementary grant in order to both leverage municipal-owned revenue, so that we're combining grant funding with municipal-owned revenue to allow for development of an integrated city. We also will continue to encourage the transferring officer to ensure that distinction is respected. And then lastly, on the accreditation of the housing function, the FFC recommended that government must expedite the process, and that's a recommendation that should be directed to the Department of Human Settlements. The Treasury can't do that. Then on the SALGA raised comments on the intergovernmental debt and the financial health of municipalities, SALGA raised a long-standing concern about the payments by government departments for property rates and service charges. We would like to note that although there are still historic debts that are being addressed through the process led by DPW, and I think Selga gave a good summary of that process. We would like to note that over the current debt, current bills are being paid, and that's a very positive change in the system. And on the financial health of municipalities, Selga noted that the Auditor General, they said that the Auditor General says that the financial health of 92% of municipalities is concerning and requires intervention. From our perspective, we think it's about a third of municipalities that are in financial distress, so not that high number of 92%. There are obviously problems in many municipalities, though, and the Treasury shares the broad concern that Selga has about the financial status of municipalities, and we provide extensive support both through the allocation of resources and capacity support. Members of this committee will be well aware that transfers to local government increased from about 3% of the division of revenue in the turn of the century to about 9% now, and over 2.4 billion rand is allocated for municipal capacity support just in this year alone through a variety of capacity grants, the Municipal Finance Improvement Program, the Municipal Infrastructure Support Agency, and this doesn't even include the support that is available through donors and the CETAs, so there is extensive support available. And lastly, we would like to, because there were some questions raised on the Municipal Money website and financial management support, I'd like to talk briefly.
Chair,
if I
may, honourable members, as you are aware, the Municipal Money website was released through the MTBPF on 26 October. And we had an overwhelming response. At the end of the speech, there were about 100 users at a time on the website as people were exploring. I note that Selga has raised some questions on the accuracy of the data and also about the municipality's readiness to implement MSOA. So I'm sure you've already explored municipal money. I hope you have. However, I note here that there's no reception, so you can't do it here. You must speak to your parliamentary representatives. We know that government budgets are a blueprint for public resources, but we went the extra mile here with this municipal money. We also included the actual outcomes of the municipalities, and it's based on Section 71, which is quarterly updated, but it's also based on the actual audit outcomes as far as the Auditor General has released it. Now, as a founding member of the Open Government Partnership, National Treasury is always striving for transparency and for active public participation in any of the government processes, specifically the budget, and that is the idea of municipal money. So the data is usually updated every quarter. It doesn't take us very long to take whatever we have verified, and let me just pause there when we say verified. As you know, the municipalities are reporting quarterly and monthly on what we call the Section 71 in-year reporting system. It comes directly to our database. And every quarter we go through a very big clean-up, which we call the verification. If you speak to any of the analysts in my unit, they will tell you hashtag verification must fall. But it's not going to happen, because that's how we ensure that there are accurate information. So what we do is we take whatever the municipalities are submitting to us, and we are packaging that into the reporting format, and we ask the MM and the CFO to sign off on that information. And hence, when we eventually get to the publication, we take a snapshot, as we call it, which is a copy of the database for publication purposes, and that is what we are basing this municipal money on. You will notice in the latest release that we had the municipal elections in the meantime, and therefore we've left out the contact details of the councillors specifically, and we are in the process of updating that information so that when the next release comes in the beginning of December, we will have the latest contact detail available as well. Now, municipal money is accessible 24/7, and you can access it on either your internet or on your mobile device, your smartphone. We have realized that while there's nothing new in this website, because it's all based on information and resources that we are already publishing on our website, it was not in citizen speak. And so the attempt for municipal money was to take make it educational as well as friendly in a what do you call it, interactive media related way, so the citizens can understand what they are seeing and that they can monitor the performance of the municipality. We also give guidance on how to interpret the data, and it's important here to note that while we are making this data available, we are not endorsing whatever the municipalities or the investigative journalists are doing with the data. It's simply we ask them to acknowledge that it comes from National Treasury. And to that effect, they must accept a terms of use that we have put on the website to ensure that they do not misquote the National Treasury information. There's also a feedback mail where we monitor, we gather statistics on how, on what people are doing on the website. And currently, on the next slide, you will see that we've already had 6,125 people that have visited the website. And I think it's about 600 of them that have actually looked at the educational video at the beginning that tells citizens how they can get involved in the IDP and budget planning process of the municipality. There were already requests for enhancements to be added, and they would like to have better comparative measures on tariffs and household rates. They would like to track, and this is something that is quite interesting because it will be covered in the MSCOA, is they want to track capital projects that the municipalities are doing in their wards to see what how the money is actually working for them. So the project steering committee will meet at the end of this month, and then we will discuss how we are going to focus on these new areas of the story. Oh, it says the website is working. Where did you get that from? Okay. So, on the next slide you will see, if you look at the broader reform and the objectives of the local government budget reform, we are looking and striving for quality local government information that will inform national policy debate. And we would like to be get information so that it is comparative across all municipalities to aid resource allocation and decisions. We want to have a credible budget process, and above all, we want municipalities to table funded budgets, otherwise service delivery will suffer. We want to prevent municipal financial difficulties through the Section 71 analysis, so it acts as an early warning system. And we would like to strengthen the link between the policy formulation, planning, budgeting, implementation, the reporting and monitoring of service delivery, and keep the municipalities accountable. So this is where the MSCOA or the Municipal Standard Chart of Accounts comes in. Up to now, the municipalities were allowed to use their own financial systems, and they could, in whichever way they want, define their own general ledgers. So while we have structured the reporting framework through Section 71, it means that they have been doing a mapping exercise into our reporting requirements. With the implementation of the MSCOA from 1 July 2017, all of this will be eradicated because they will have a seamless integration. They will all have a standard general ledger. They will have subsystems that are running into this general ledger that will be seamlessly integrated. And we will finally get to integrated reporting, which is what we strive for all along. Go to the next slide, you will see that the segments that we have included in the SCOA is first of all the project, which is basically DCOP's mandate, because this relates to the IDP. And through the project, we are aligning the project that the municipalities are going to run with the Millennium Goals, as well as the medium-term strategic framework, which is a five-year plan, through the IDP of the municipality and right into the project that they are going to implement. On the next one, we keep to the function as well, which is our international standard. It's prescribed by the International Monetary Fund, and we translate the information into government financial statistics classification, which is the functionality that is the international standard. On the next one, you will see the item level. This is where the accountability comes in, and this is where the Office of the Accountant General will prescribe. Out of this, we are going to generate the IFS for the municipality, adhering, of course, to the prescript of the IFP and the OIG. The next one is the funding. As you all know, the national and provincial levels are on a modified cash base, but the municipalities are on accrual. So this segment attempts to align the modified cash with the accrual system that the municipalities are using with their billing information. The next one, the region, is key here. And that is where we make the link between the IDP, which is sitting in the project segment, to the region where it is actually happening. So now we can tell you which projects are being performed in which part of the municipality. The next one is the costing. We are promoting the municipalities to start taking into account secondary costs when they do the tariff calculations. So that one area that we found that is lacking. Most of the municipalities are randomly looking at the tariffs and they're not taking all the cost of delivering a service into account. And the last segment that we are seeing to now report on is the municipal standard classification, which is the internal voting structure or department structure of a municipality and how they are delivering services. This is a non-regulated segment and it pertains only to the municipality itself. So as you can see, we're building up this queue and you will now be able to look from any angle to get information at the item level. You can go through project to item, you can go through project region item, and therefore we are very excited about this implementation. We have supported the municipality since 2013 very actively on preparing them on how to implement this MSCOA. But even before that, in 2010, we have started analyzing and liaising with the vendors because ultimately they are the ones that need to adapt the system so that the municipalities can conform to the MSCOA classification framework. We've gone through extensive training. It is non-accredited training throughout the Republic of South Africa by district. There are more than 1,000 municipal officials that have been part of the demystification of the MSCOA. We have done a readiness assessment for each and every municipality through our provincial treasury to see whether they are able to implement, as we have special focus on those that were lagging behind. Throughout this process, we have maintained contact with the system vendors to ensure that they adhere when in any of the changes that they make to the system, that they adhere to the principles that we want within the installer. We have now already devised some accredited training materials. The first batch of trainers has been concluded. We are very strict with them. There are only three that have actually passed, but the next batch is due in December 2016. Now this training is being done through INFO, who has now changed their name, but that's the Institute for Municipal Financial Officials. So, further we support them through circulars and practical workshops. As we speak, we are busy training the provincial treasuries on how to assist the municipalities within their province so that they are ready for 1 July 2017.
Honourable members, you have been listening to a briefing by the National Treasury on the Division of Revenue of the Bill. I would like to invite you to reflect and interrogate the presentation. Thank you very much. Honourable member, number one, I don't want to say this. So number one, number two, Mr. Tibi, I know your name. Number three, number four, number five, Mr. McLaughlin. Let's take this first five, and thereafter, allow members to respond to the round.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Jonathan Ramaphosa. My question is from the Honourable Member. I have been under the pretense that once the money unspent, you understand the money for peace and taken those who can stand. That was in one of the ministers of finance speeches in the National Assembly. Now, I just want to find out what happened to that, looking at the situation regarding the same issue. And attached to the figures are their chances if under spend for a particular period, given the space to spend and then get the money. Because I understand from the minister to say, understand to take it to the part of the other people. The fourth one is some kind of function. There are funds that are going to be directed to local municipalities and provinces. Now, the role of the national department when it comes to how are you going to play that role? Because remember, when we give it to the how it's going to spend it. So we're not expecting you to come and determine how other positions for them. How do you play that accountability role after you have given up that percentage?
Thank you, Chair, so much. We appreciate the presentation of the chairs from the Treasury. Firstly, I want to say a word of thanks to the team in front of us regarding assistance to the Kamishberg municipality where I'm deployed. And the reason I'm showing this is the reward, they received on the 3rd of October 2016 for the best improvement in administration of the municipality and the audit that they received. Because of the intervention by the National Treasury with COCA, it's very important that the centers I'm using, the cooperation between the departments resulted in that. After we sent the letter to the Minister of Finance. Thanks to that, the work that she's offered, she's an employee of the National Treasury. Now, for the second year, in comes back to the work she has done. Then, Chairperson, I indicated that the previous Select Committee for Appropriations meeting, I'm going to ask this question. It's coming from the Division of Revenue presentation, well, in February, March this year, slide 44. Father will recall this regarding the financing of ECB, because this is a matter that stood over and the Treasury would have gone back. The answer then was government is exploring options on how to fund ECB infrastructure, however the functional issues around the responsibility for ECB infrastructure between NPOs, municipalities and provinces remain very complex. The question is what happened between February and today, the 10th of November 2016. What progress is there? Is it ongoing? Because I must report back to my province next Wednesday morning at the top on this legislation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Nels van Rijn from the Free State. Chairperson, I've got two questions. One is directly looking back on the Free State. The first question is this, the drought relief allocation of 12 million rand. How ready is the Department of Treasury to disperse that funds to the provinces, which is indirect drought? And have they got the necessary capacity for monitoring the drought? The second one is on the bucket eradication. And I noticed with shock that they are taking money away from two of them is programs in the future on the Butterfield education. And my understanding of that program is a priority and should have actually been completed last year already. So if we can just have an indication of what is the rationale behind money being taken away from those two municipalities, which in my view has a huge impact on the small rural municipalities. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you,
determining reductions to the grants. You say that you don't agree with only fact action for the time. If I can refer you to page 177 of the adjusted estimates of that expenditure. There was obviously money allocated to that. Now, I presume more money is going to be allocated to this going forward so that it can happen. But in this sort of instance, that money should be taken away. Because clearly there's no interest, nothing's happening. There's no excuse indicated anywhere as to why it doesn't happen. So I would argue with your proposal that it shouldn't just be on performance. In some instances, it shouldn't just be on performance. You say here as well, departments and municipalities must also take account for the performance, but that's a desirable thing, yes. But how is that going to happen? Is National Treasury going to go there and say you haven't performed, we're going to arrest you and lock you up? or we're going to do something to you to make you perform, please tell us how this is going to happen. We keep saying, oh yes, we're going to hold people accountable, but how do we do it? You don't tell us that. What steps are we going to take? Concerning the death of Brahmin Spirit is all the board's next tomorrow. Is it not time that municipalities were subjected to some kind of ring-fencing system that whatever monies they receive for the sale of water and electricity has to be utilized for the payment of those same things that they sent? And any grants they receive for covering indigents and things like that, for the assistance of the poor, should also be ring-fenced for those payments, because if the money is for a purpose, it should be spent for that purpose. Because what's happening, and we know it's happening, is municipalities need to wait until the grant arrives and then quickly settle the two debts, for those debtors who are making the most noise, and pay a few salaries and bonuses that may have slipped backwards, and we end up with this ever-increasing problem. Can't we try and do something about this? Try and narrow this down so I don't know. Slide 25. Very simple question. You say 6,925 people have already used the website. Since when is that? When did they start using the website? I'd like to know what period it is. And then lastly, if I could just ask, on page 143 of the adjusted estimates of national expenditure, I understand you might not have the answer at hand, but maybe get it for me. I'd appreciate it. About halfway down the page, there's an item there in program 4, R65,973,000 is for the lease of transport aircraft. I'd like to know what we are going to be transporting. I think it's very important for us to know what it is we're going to spend all this money on transporting. Will we actually possess transport aircraft? So I'd like to know why we're spending 96 million on leasing transport aircraft. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member McLaughlin. I will now invite the National Treasury to respond to the questions raised by the five Honourable Members. Thereafter, we will allow members for second round questions. So, prepare yourself. Thank you very much. Over to you, Madam. Madam Adin.
With regards to the issue of how we deal with road overs, the rules are there on how we deal with the road over, because the road over is usually allowed for when the department that is able to prove that the money that they were allocated and could not spend was actually committed. And that commitment is built around contractual commitment. Yes. So that is why you find that many departments will apply for rollover but will not approve all the rollover. So this, in this case, it's just to make an end. The money, the problem was not understanding. The problem was poor reporting, you know, on the family, which then caused the department not to receive the money. So the money that they spent was from their own security share in the meanwhile. So, but then the money has been brought over compensation for that because the money was already spent, in a sense. They demonstrate more commitment in this case. So I think we're very strict on the rollovers because we also don't want to situate rollovers over rollovers because people can't spend the money that they are looking to in so, and if there is a demonstration that the department is not able to spend the money, we do the reallocation between departments. So we watch that, we do that for the municipality, we do the reallocation between departments. But sometimes, you know, to actually begin to watch until the end of the year in order to be able to so the concurrent function issue is always a challenging one. I think that's what the Honourable Donald indicates, that the department, the national departments are responsible for the function. So in terms of how the functions are allotted to the sphere, the expectations of the national departments will be on the and will give the national standards. And those who will inform the allocation, that normally there is usually some degree of understanding in terms of when we allocate the money, how the money could be prioritized. Within the sector. So that is why every year with the department, we do hold sessions with them that we call benchmarking, where we look at their budget and begin to say, are they aligned with what at the national level is expected to be, how the funds should be prioritized. So that is why you'll find that the budget for provinces, you know, they are prioritizing education, health, and development, growth. Because that's the key that actually drives the prioritization that informs the fiscal allocation at the national level for problems. So we do that, and then the other thing is around reporting. So this section is two reporting. It's part of what the national partners also need to put there in addition to also looking at performance of the partners. Because we do all the performance reporting that the partners are doing. So there are mechanisms, you know, that are in place. And how effective they are always depends on the capacity and the effectiveness of the organization partners, but the means are there to be strengthened over time. So in terms of disbursing, I think this was the indirect grant for agriculture that has been allocated for to allow for child. So what the department has said is that they are actually already quite advanced in terms of determining where the needs are. To make this a grant indirect was really around also facilitating the process of procurement and also ensuring that it is much more effective in terms of the cost as you could buy and pay. So what we are expecting is that the department is going to be submitting to us very soon the business plan that they already have. And they're going to be working with also the COPSA that also is dealing with it. So they are, and we're hoping that because the need is already out there, and this is really an operational, grant, so to speak, there should not be a difficulty in terms of actually spending. And the province won't be receiving the money. They will be receiving the benefit of the fodder and fees. That's going to be and all the programs we have to do is to inform the department in terms of where the needs are, and then they agree on how it gets distributed within the province. So another thing, I answered your question, honorable, in terms of where KwaZulu-Natal took the money that they spent for the road.
Comment on the back of eradication and the early childhood development. With regard to financing early childhood development, as we noted in the response at the beginning of the year, the ECD facilities are a legally complex area because a lot of the facilities are in privately owned facilities, and the question is how public funds can be used to make improvements to private facilities. So that's one set of problems. We have met with both the Department of Social Development, which is responsible for the early childhood development sector, as well as the MIG administrators in the Department of Corporate Governance, and they are working together on these issues. The challenge that we have at the moment, we've clarified that there is no prohibition on using MIG money for ECD facilities. ECD is one of the things that can be funded and MIG projects can be approved. However, one of the stumbling blocks in approving projects is the lack of clarity on the norms and standards for facilities, for ECD facilities that must be met. So in the assessment of MIG projects, whether a MIG project qualifies for funding, and the Department of Corporate Governance has asked Social Development to clarify um, to clarify the standards, the norms and standards. So that is work that is ongoing. But in principle, the MINT can be used to fund those. And those legal questions will still remain a challenge. And we are also asking for both within COGTA and within sector departments, including sports and recreation, social development, etc., to look more at multi-use facilities, where the same municipal facility can be used for ECD, community meetings, etc., because you get a lot better value for money out of that kind of model. So that's another area that we're looking at that's relevant to that. And then on the bucket eradication, Honourable Van Rooyen asked about the change in allocations in the Free State. The Free State received the largest allocations from the bucket eradication program grant. I think it's very important to observe at the outset that this is an indirect grant, so it is money spent by the national department on behalf of municipalities. It's not cash transferred to municipal accounts. So when we show the changes in the bill, in addition to the increase of 72 million, which has been funded from savings within the Department of Water and Sanitation, there are also some reprioritizations among projects within the project list that the Department of Water and Sanitation has. There are, and that involves reductions to particularly large projects in the Free State. So, for example, there was an allocation in Sesotho that planned 171 million. It's reduced by 62 million, so there's now 109 million that they plan. So, still a substantial amount that is budgeted for that project in that municipality. So, I don't want to leave you with the impression that there's a lot of work being done in those municipalities that are facing reduction. It tends to be the very large ones that are being reduced. The reason for that is largely is changes in the scope of work. And delays due to particularly engineering challenges. So the department has faced issues where bulk infrastructure needs to be upgraded in order to be able to implement the project. They've also faced challenges where, particularly in some of the Free State municipalities, with a lot of rock that needs to be drilled through, which means that for the bulk to get there, it's going to take a lot longer because it's not just normal jigging that. I don't understand all the technical engineering stuff, and I'll be honest, but it causes a substantial delay. There were then questions about whether all of the buckets will be eradicated in this year. That is a very complicated question. The bucket eradication issue is always one of definition, so I think we must be very careful how we talk here. The bucket eradication program is targeted at buckets sanitation systems in formal areas. So we must, and the targets in this program talk to that. So we must be very clear that we're not talking about informal settlements where people refer to the sanitation as bucket sanitation. That is funded as part of the broader informal settlement upgrading program. At this stage, we are anticipating that this bucket eradication program grant for formal areas will come to an end at the end of this year. If there are outstanding projects, those will be handled through the municipal water, the water and sanitation infrastructure grant, which has both direct and indirect components. Because of these kind of delays and challenges, there may still be some outstanding bits of work to be completed, and those will have to be accommodated in that grant. And even in some rare cases, regional bulk infrastructure grant, where it is a bulk specific challenge that is delaying the program there. Thank you.
On the question of when the website went live, it was during the NTDPS speech on 26 October. So you've seen it. What is interesting is about of those 6,000 people, 25% are from overseas and most of them come from Ireland.
Any follow-up questions?
Say by the limit.
Ah.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Chung Glua. I'm from the Northwest. Chairperson, I want to raise the following comments. On page 20 regarding the financial health of municipalities, I also share the sentiment of Salga, where it mentioned that there is concern that 92% of the municipalities' health is actually worrisome. When I look at the recommendation, I just want to say, in terms of the recommendations, it seems that the recommendations have the potential, if a municipality is in trouble, give them more money, which I believe it is not the case to solve the problem. With specific reference, looking at the 3% to 9%, and also the 2.4 billion allocated for capacity, safe to say, you go to every single municipality regarding oversight, then you will find in almost every department that we have officials and the administration staff that has gone for this programs, and they still have a qualified order. But what I'm interested in is also the municipalities that they are about to help in terms of the resources. I understand it's a high level report, but in terms of oversight role for members of parliament, I think it is imperative for us to have such a list when we are going to engage in our oversight. And then on the very next page, on page 22, I also want to echo the questions asked in terms of accessibility of the data. But when you look and you go to my province, which is so rural, and you'll find when it comes to challenges, most, if not all of the challenges, is accessibility in this regard. And I would also perhaps want us to consider what was mentioned in terms of the multi-use facilities, when it will assist so that there can be public participation to assist the rural municipalities as well. And then on the very last page, this is page 30, readiness assessments have been done for municipalities through the province, through the provincial treasury, and special attention has been given to municipalities. Once again, to assist us in our oversight role, I would like to find out, Chairperson, the possibility to also give us a list to those that need assistance who are lagging behind. It is important for us as public reps to have that list so that we can also play a role to assist. And then the very last sentence speaks to a circular and practical workshops, and certain milestones have been set. I'm not sure whether it will be milestones or will it be targets, and whatever it is, it also says that it will ensure that municipalities are on board before 1 July. I know, and I don't want to push anyone for time, how sure are we in confirming that yes, we will reach that 1st July 2017, and if not, I would also would like to know what milestones have been set in order for us to reach this target. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for your question. May I request members to be short and to the point?
We welcome the fact that the additional funding that has been given to the municipality in the north of Famosa local municipality to the tune of 3.1 for water. But I'm also aware that government is having a plan of having a 5
from Bloomberg to government municipalities. But in the current situation, there's a 3.4 allocation, is that that municipality goes for days without water. And they use waterborne sewage, and there's a new settlement. Now, my concern is that intervention is not so much enough to avoid the problems that community is facing at the moment. Is there nothing that can be done with the 3.4 allocation?
Thank you very much for your intervention. Number
3,
Mr. Chair.
My name is Akiwe Kumalo from Gauteng. In our interaction with the provincial government and the Committee of Finance, and in particular Health Department, in relation to the own revenue collection, we found that there is a problem of other provinces that are not playing their part in paying what is due to the province, in particular Northwest and Mpumalanga and other departments. What I want to do to check is how far is the National Treasury in assisting provinces on interdepartmental and interprovincial debt process. Yes.
Thank you very much, Number 4. I want to make a follow-up or a question on the concerns raised by SALGA around the issue of the USDG. There is an explanation that has been put forward here, but SALGA raised this concern, and they indicated to say that it's not the first time to raise this concern, and they spoke also to the Treasury. But now, if Treasury is saying that we will continue to engage with transferring officers, we will continue without bearing any results on that engagement. I want to check, is there no guiding criteria for transferring officers on how to transfer different grants? Secondly, around the issue of the indirect grant, one appreciates that sometimes the national department assists the municipality to try and implement for the municipality that does not have the capacity. But what I want to check is that we have once seen the report where they are under expenditure around the issue of the indirect grant. I want to check what happens if the national department that was an implementer for the municipality did not spend the funds and there are no project commitments on the funds? Does it have the rollover, or does this particular rollover follow the criteria of the rollover because the municipalities are being affected by this particular money if it is not rolled over, but also it was implemented by the national department? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member Maniwaka. I would now call upon Honourable
Member Shopping Colleague. Thank you, Chair. I've been covered by Dr. Madon.
Thank you so much. With your permission, I would like to ask just two questions. Slide 16, with regard to 2017 MTS. The National Treasury states that government should work with financial institutions to expand their investment programs on the strength of their own balance sheet. However, we know that metropolitan municipalities derive only 19% of their revenue from transfers, while district municipalities, which provide services to rural areas, derive 80% of their funding. Will this approach not negatively impact development in the rural area? And of course, yesterday we met with the Human Science Research Council, which indicated that we need to urbanize our rural areas. What is the take of the National Treasury on this? If National Treasury is not able to respond because it's okay, we can still get the response later in writing. And then the second one is the again, on the same slide 16, we know that you indicate that all municipalities need to focus on more efficient spending and value for money to improve basic services. We also note that the risk statement states that budget execution is a fundamental risk. So what specific intervention can be made to significantly improve budget execution at provincial and local government level? I will now request National Treasury to respond to the issues raised by the Honourable Minister. And in your responses, we appreciate it if you can also provide a short statement to the point. Thank you very much. Over to DDG.
On the issue of municipality, I think providing the list is something that we are very much aware that money is not always a solution, because some of the problems that actually are prevailing are not necessarily money. Sometimes it's because the government is not that could be the one that puts in the challenge. So the money is to assist and to make sure that national government also performs the issue of supporting municipalities in terms of capacity. But it has got to be an integrated approach that looks at what are some of the root causes of the problems that have been causing the delivery of the municipality. I mean, the data portal accessibility, I believe that one of the things that we thought we make it easier is that the data is accessible on the mobile and that most of the people, wherever they are, actually do have access. But actually, it is one way of actually making it much more accessible, the information, the data, much more accessible to other areas. But obviously, the issues of connectivity are other issues that still need to be addressed with some of the government interventions. The allocation to Northwest Municipality, the Mission Department does run programs, so some of the allocations are about addressing immediate challenges that the municipalities are having in terms of disaster approaches, but there are clear programs that are run by Mission Department and also clear programs. So it could be that the trust could be prioritized in those areas. So what we don't know is where it is in the prioritization list, but that's the area they are meant to I suppose on the issue of interprovincial, I don't know if you have an answer on that.
It's something like that. It will be appreciated if the information can be provided to National Treasury. What we'll do is we'll raise it with the Gauteng province and whatever other province are involved to deal with this matter. So if we can get that information, we'll follow up.
I think also what we can point is that some of the services are really the services that have been funded for. Because we have got this major health, patient health services that housing gets a much bigger share, and those are supposed to support the inter-regional services, because they can only be accessed most of the major data centers. So those ones, nationally, they are already provided for. So I think it would be interesting to actually find out to say, besides those which are already, a lot of people already take into consideration that situation, what else are we talking about? UNDP, the process of actually understanding the nature of the grant and also the department also having a sense of, can we hold the municipalities also to account for performance? I think that is where the balance we are trying to find each other regards to the national strategy. But in terms of the law, the law is very clear in terms of how you deal with the USDG and how you account for it. And that's what we continuously enforce in terms of how we monitor the grant. So what happens when the indirect grant is done to them? So it's not treated
different view from the normal understanding. So if the department has not the constraint that the allocation is committed, then they will not get the money. So they will forfeit the money. So they will have to demonstrate that there is a project, there is a contractual obligation that they have, then the money will be allocated. So the issue of expanding finance on the much more stronger than the strategy on the balance sheet, how that will impact on the rural area. I think what we are trying to say here is that, you know, the design of our fiscal system is in the municipalities is in such a manner that says where there is a capability, you need to maximize that on the capability in terms of the capacity that you have. So and those in the fact that they've got stronger fiscal capacity, we are saying they need to maximize that because the extent of the need of the infrastructure that you require in the rural area, in the urban areas, also in the urban areas because of urbanization, it is so huge that actually from the fiscal we are not able to keep up with the pace. So what we are saying is that for those large, you know, municipalities that have got a much more potential, they need to maximize and optimize within their own resources. So what that means is the resources that are coming from the national will therefore be able to meet more of the needs in the rural areas where the need is still huge, and we agree that we should support, you know, the development in those areas. Some of you will be driven a lot by what you do with some of the regional centers or the small towns. But they need a lot of funding from the national. They may not have any resources and capacity to derive that funding from within. So if we say our metros and our large cities, they begin to find innovative ways of getting resources and leverage from the private sector, then our own national funding would go towards supporting more of the roads and that need support but cannot be able to have the resources. And I think that is how we have designed in our governmental system so that it's able to drive money where it's needed, but there is a capacity to actually need it.
Just one last point is how can we ensure value for money? There's various processes that is quite important. One of the things that we do, and we monitor National Treasury, the larger municipalities, where we do benchmarking, and they come actually meet with National Treasury, and we go through their budgets and we look at various aspects, including monitor specifically whether there's value for money and how cost containment is also dealt with. The same is done by provincial treasuries as well, where that's what benchmarking requires, and in-year monitoring is another tool that's used. But also quite importantly, and that's one of the benefits also of the MSOA that's going to be introduced. What you currently can't do is compare apples with apples because municipalities budget differently for the same type of output. But when MSOA comes along, you'll actually be able to benchmark the cost of those municipalities spend on various things.
Just 5 minutes. Just 5 minutes. Shall we take this response and then have the response? Okay. I'll just make sure it's in the last term that is getting in place. That is that all the municipalities must have been registered by the 30th of October to use the new upload portal. So that means that their contact detail needs to be available. Must be able to proper delegation of them at the end. By end of November, they must be able to unpack their IDP into three of the segments, and that is the project, the function, and the region. And they should submit the sample file so that we can see. At the end of November, we will be able to see which of those municipalities can ask the customer something that will lead to this or not. And those that cannot do that are the ones that we need to focus on. Then the next milestone will be at the end of March when they will submit a full table budget in all six segments that are required, seven segments actually, through the upload portal onto the website.
Well, thank you so much for I can see the other people who might have asked a few questions. And I'm going to appeal to the honorable members that they allow us to at least fulfill this other procedural matter, on number five. That would really go as the members of the standing on a professional committee. We have done the question, then honorable member, I can then proceed with the questions and close the meeting. Are we in agreement? I can see. Okay, thank you so much. I'll be there. So move on to item number five, which is motion of desirability by Chairperson of the Standing Committee on Appropriations, which comes in terms of LA Rule 286, Section 4, Subsection I and Subsection J. Honourable members, the Standing Committee on Appropriations would like to table a motion of desirability in terms of the NA rule that I've already quoted, and the motion is as follows. That the opinion of the committee, legislation is that desirable to amend the Division of Revenue Act of 2016 in accordance with the Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act 2009. Provide for matters connected herewith, and that the bill refers to the committee be taken as a basis. Honourable members of the Standing Committee on Appropriations, is there an agreement? Do we agree on this one? Agreed?
Agreed.
Did I hear agreed?
Agreed.
Thank you very much. So this will be signed by me and then submitted. Thank you so much. May we then hand over this to
Thank you, Co-Chair. Yes, the business today in the afternoon, members want to go to the NA to consider matters on their agenda. Now, honorable members, I was asked a simple task by my co-chair to check if you still want to have further discussions on matters that we presented before you. So it's impossible for you to proceed discussions without your colleagues. That's what you are telling me. Okay, then I like that spirit of humility. Tomorrow we have got a public hearing at 9. I don't know whether the